Slayer.
Which can mean only one thing.
Yeah.
It is time. We are so pumped to welcome John Clayton as 104.3 The Fan's senior Broncos writer from DenverFan.com. And he's going to be writing. He's going to be joining us on the shows. He joins us right now on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. I know you two have a long, long history, so you got to be ecstatic about this.
Love Johnny C. Johnny C. is one of the great all-time, not only all-time writers, all-time television personalities, but one of the all-time dudes. And he joins us right now. And Johnny, let me start you off right now with what they're going to do with Justin Simmons. I mean, obviously, here's a guy that is either probably going to get a long-term deal or a franchise tag. What do you think is going to happen in regards to Justin Simmons and the Denver Broncos?
I think he's going to end up getting franchised because the franchise number, even though it's a second franchise tag, which goes up 20% over the previous year, is still going to come in, you know, at $13-plus million. And basically, when if you do a long-term deal, it'll be $14 million a year plus, and you're getting him for basically 2 years at $25 million, which is 12 and a half. And so you get a little bit of a discount in doing this, but then the only trepidation in this is that if you look at the history since 2011 in franchise tags, is franchise tags and transition tags, that 55% of the guys don't end up getting long-term deals when you do one or two franchise tags on a player, and so they end up leaving. So ideally, you'd like to be able to control things, get the long-term deal, but you know, not knowing where the cap is, and it's so close to the start of free agency and everything else, and you only have a two-week window on the franchise tag, that you know, you'd like to get something done. I don't know if they're going to be able to get anything done because even today, nobody knows what the cap's going to be. So I think in the end, he's going to get the franchise tag.
So, John, when you have two different regimes, first John Elway, now George Payton, both having the same view of Justin Simmons, is it, I guess for me, the obvious takeaway is they like John, they like Justin Simmons. They just don't love him.
I don't know if that's the case. It's just a matter of the price. And again, it's the price and the cap. Now, fortunately, from Denver's standpoint, they're in good shape cap-wise because they have right now about $16 million believed to be under the cap. And, of course, nobody knows what the cap is. And, of course, we don't have that combine that we would all be at this week to be able to get more of the information that we need to know. But it's like, you know, but these are expensive deals. And like anything else, you know, the agent probably wants more than what you're willing to pay, you know, because 14.75 right now is Buda Baker, and you know, if you're Justin Simmons and his agent, you're trying to, you know, come as close to that, if not top it as possible. And is Justin Simmons the best safety in football? No, but he's a really good safety, and he's going to be, you know, paid well if he gets a deal done. And plus, you look at the safety class in the NFL this year, there's going to be about four safeties that are in the free market. They're going to end up getting more than $10 million. So it's not like it's a statement by George Payton or a statement by the organization that they don't like him. It's just a matter, can you get a deal done under a tight time limit?
Hey, John, tell me about what you think is going to happen in regards to Von Miller. Obviously, he's got a huge cap number. Are they going to bring him back at that cap number? Are they going to ask him to renegotiate that deal? Or are they just going to outright cut Von Miller? What do you think is going to happen?
I'm worried about that one. I don't know what you think about it, but I think that you know, he's got $18 million in the last year of his contract because he got $17.5 as a base and $500,000 as a workout bonus. And you know, certainly you can see that the injuries have kind of caught up to him. He's not the same player that he was when he signed this deal. And I'm worried that it could be to the point where they're ready to move on. And, but the bad part about that is that you move on, and what was going to be such a great combination of Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, I mean, what, they only have four games together in like 2 years because of injuries to Chubb and injuries to Von Miller. I mean, what seems to be the consensus in Denver as far as what's going to happen with Von? Because right now I'm a little bit worried that he might not be with this team.
Yeah, we're all kind of, I get the sense that people are prepared to move on from Von.
Yeah.
And that, you know, hey, thank you very much. What a run. We'll see you back here for the Ring of Fame ceremony. But otherwise, I think people are ready to move on. You've been covering this league for a long time. You've seen how teams do business. Do you think the Texans are going to really dig in with Deshaun Watson, call his bluff, or do they have no choice but to trade him?
No, I think that they have a choice because they have a no-trade clause in his contract, and I think they're going to hold on to that for the longest period of time. Because now, you know, can you envision anything? Because you know how this all works out. You can ask to be traded. You want. You can say that. Because I know that talking to people down in Houston, it's like they say there's no way that he's going to be with the team next year from his standpoint. But again, it's like you have to test that out and go into training camp and go into maybe even to the regular season to see if he's going to fall through with that, because he's one of the top five quarterbacks in this league. And so nothing will happen before the trade that before anything's going to happen right before they get to the the beginning of the training camp, because again, if he holds out, he holds out, and so he just pays money and all that different stuff, and then we'll see how he goes. But it's like, that's why Denver's in a good spot, because they have Drew Lock, they have a quarterback who can start, and it's like they can still be in the mix, kind of like Carolina, unless they do something, because I know that Teddy Bridgewater's not happy with the way things are going there. But all these other teams that are looking for quarterbacks, they'll already had to made their move, make the draft choices or whatever they do. So in the end, it's probably just going to be Denver and maybe Carolina. But I can't envision anything happening before you step forward as a player and then hold out and then really push the envelope on this thing.
Yeah, it's interesting, Johnny. Just, you've been in Seattle, you live in Seattle, you've seen them produce, and you've seen what Russell Wilson has done, and you've seen this franchise just stay relevant for every year that Russell has been in, winning one Super Bowl and those type of things. We've got kind of a similar thing brewing here in the AFC West, with Kansas City being a dominant kind of franchise right now with Mahomes. When you look at what you have to do if you're a team like Denver to be able to compete consistently with a Kansas City, where do you stand on that? What are the building blocks that are necessary to be able to do that if you're, the Denver Broncos trying to get to Kansas City's level?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, to get somebody like a Deshaun Watson, then you've moved the meter to a point now where you can really stand up against Kansas City, because, if Mahomes is the best quarterback or one of the top two quarterbacks in the league, and I think right now, Mahomes, as good as Tom Brady is the best, you get somebody that's going to be within the top five, and that's Deshaun Watson. But the problem is, you can't get these guys. These guys are hard to get. And so you stay in the loop as far as trying to get Deshaun Watson. But in the meantime, what you have to do, because, this is a team that has a Drew Lock and a quarterback in his rookie contract, you try to surround him with as much talent as you possibly can, because whether it's going to be adding guys in free agency, whether it's going to be trading for some guys, you try to add to it to try to, keep up on all that stuff, because, you add to the defense, you make sure that you have a good enough running game. Certainly they're good enough at the three receiver set as far as talent, and I think they're good enough at tight end. You make sure that the offensive line's good, but, all you can do to compete against a team like Kansas City, because, you look at it through the years, it's like, okay, Tom Brady dominated the AFC East for two decades. Then you look at San Francisco when they had Montana, Steve Young, they dominated their division. And so it's a matter that you try to get as good of a quarterback as you can, but you can't necessarily get a quarterback that's going to be as good as Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, there's no question about that. It is a somewhat of a dilemma. There's no question. Hey, Johnny, we appreciate you, John, and it's great having you part of the station, man. It's awesome to kind of reconnect. So look forward to it in the upcoming months.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
All right, there he goes, John Clayton.
Yeah, he probably loves hearing that. He probably hasn't gotten sick of that at all.
No, he hasn't.
He shouldn't. It's so cool.
It's one of...
It's iconic.
It's one of the... It may be the best ESPN commercial of all time.
They have had some great commercials. Great ones. But I remember when that one first ran, people were just like, oh my God.
All right.
He's got the ponytail, the whole thing. Yeah, that was.
Hello, I'm done with my segment.
104.3 The Fan, senior Broncos writer from DenverFan.com, John Clayton, joining us on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline. Yeah, gonna really enjoy being able to chop it up with him, talking football. That'll be good. That'll be really good.